Welcome back to another episode of Making a Martini. I am your host, Caleb Figgles. This is season four, and this is a very, very big, important day. Not only is it Valentine's Day, or more importantly, National Make a Scorpio Day, it is my chance to talk with the creator and star and executive producer and the mind behind the new web miniseries. Is that right? The web miniseries? Is that the right way to say it?
I hope it's not mini. I hope it's huge.
I hope it never ends. The web series. The soon to be coming to NBC this fall.
Yeah.
I would watch.
NBC, nothing but cocks.
And that's what it should be, the abbreviation for. But Frank Arthur Smith, welcome to Making Martini, first time guest. It is literally so exciting to have you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, do you sing to all your guests? Because that was lovely.
Yeah, it depends. Usually not at the very beginning. It's usually at the end after the martini. But
after like a cocktail, sure.
Yeah. But we're starting off strong. So yeah, we're super excited. And by we're, I love how I always put a we. Like everyone here at Making a Martini, it's me and my dog Scooter. You can't see me sitting behind
a
lamp. Oh wait, there he is. That little gray lump right there. That's
him. That's not a throw pillow.
Yeah, that's him. He's our CFO. But it's not very
artists good. Can't be trusted with money. Dogs would be better.
No, I trust dogs with everything, almost. But yeah, so I was actually just telling you this before we actually started the episode that, so for any listeners that have been around, and hopefully that's everyone, a year ago we had our Valentine's Day episode, The Art of Making Porn, a Valentine's Day special with, a guest who is working on this show, Open to It, as the intimacy coordinator, which just side note, I love to see that that's happening because it's so important. I've only just learned about this role. Like my friend went and took a workshop for it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And she said, oh, well, it's, you know, when they do making sure actors and crew are comfortable with everything that's happening, making sure that touch is good, that safety is good, all that stuff. Definitely needed on this, on Open to It, because there is a lot of sex, you guys, and it's fantastic.
It's steamy.
It's steamy. he reached out to me and said, hey, I'm working on this TV show. I think it could be a neat topic. And then I found out it was about open relationships and I was like, let's fucking go. That was
Valentine's Day. Don't limit yourself.
Exactly. Especially if you're trying to make a Scorpio, please. And we need more of us. As a proud Valentine's Day accident myself, let me just say the world needs us. Not everyone agrees with that.
I was a New Year's accident, so, you know, it's not the same. I'm common.
You're
as Bernadette Peters would say, Cinderella, you're common, Cinderella, and you'll always be common. And if I could pay Bernadette Peters to say that to me, I would. So
I would, too. Oh, my gosh. In college, we did this. I don't know why she came. Some woman that just had more money than God decided to bring her in because she wanted to, because she likes dogs. And Bernadette Peters is big with Broadway Barks and all that. So I was a quote-unquote ambassador. I went to IUP. And IEP needs ambassadors, apparently.
Sure.
And so I got to meet her after, which was like super crazy. No one knew what to say. And all I could think of was like, please don't comment on how short she is. She's the tiniest little, like, she's a small girl. Anyway.
Kristen Chenoweth, same thing. Like, I remember my sister read an article about her at one point. And she was like, if you could change one thing about your body, what would it'd be, she'd be like, have a torso. I'm all boob and leg. And I was like, and I love you even more now.
Fucking legend. Oh my God. If you're listening, Kristen Chenoweth, we love you so much.
Come next Valentine's Day. Thanks so much. Or anytime.
Thank you.
We'll have you anytime.
Yeah. I'll release it every Valentine's Day and every day of my entire life.
I'll cancel my own episode. Come on right now.
No. So essentially we're talking about this TV show. We're talking about open relationships. We're talking about you and your fabulous self. But first, we are, of course, going to give you the Making Martini special news bulletin. So we will be right back. Welcome back to another Making Martini special news bulletin. Here is what's making news. Today is the ever-important and sexual holiday of Valentine's Day, and people all over the world are going to be coming left and right, up and down, real and pretend, in the mouth, the butt, the puss, the face, the back, the front, into a sock, wherever you fucking want. But being that it's also National Make a Scorpio Day and things, you know, are going to happen, the best thing that you can do is know your status. So get fucking tested, all right? There are so many different organizations that will do testing for $0. It's irresponsible not to. And please do. The world needs more November Scorpios, despite all the memes that say that we're psycho, crazy, obsessive, manipulative, domineering, fake, and intense. Okay, we are not intense. You're intense. So get tested after every sexual experience. And if you do, we could all come wherever, whenever, and on whomever we want, with consent, of course. So know your status, and let's splooge it up this Valentine's Day. Happy humping, America. Speaking of cum socks, the Super Bowl was this past weekend, and while I don't understand what happened and also was uninvested because I live in Pittsburgh, so I have to be a Steelers fan, what I came for was the commercials. And boy, were there some gems. Jennifer Coolidge as a dolphin, two men kung fu fighting between whether or not Coors Light or Miller Lite was the star, heads up, it'll always be Miller Lite no matter what that commercial says, Will Ferrell entering multiple Netflix shows and being so good that I don't even remember what the actual commercial was even for. Pretty standard Super Bowl stuff. But then, enter Tubi. Tubi brought the commercial that are the things nightmares are made from. In fact, I've had one already about it. They felt it was appropriate to have giant rabbits coming around in shadow stalking people, kidnapping them, and then throwing them into a giant hole to die. Basically Donnie Darko on mushrooms, and don't get me started on that fucking movie. The gimmick, of course, being that Tubi users should, quote, fall down the rabbit hole of something that you didn't know you were looking for, TV or movie-wise. And while the message makes sense, the execution will keep me awake for the rest of this month. Even while I record this message, I'm facing the wall with no idea of what's behind me, so I'm 99% sure that it's a giant rabbit that's going to break in, pick me up, and murder me. Tubi. Free TV and movies, and a case of anxious diarrhea due to fear. Speaking of rabbit holes, The Sims is back in the news. For those who have never had the joy of playing The Sims and creating your own personal god complexes, The Sims is a virtual life simulation game where you create your own person or family, send them to work, build their houses, create more family, decorate accordingly, choose what they're going to eat for the day, put them in a room with fireplaces and lots of furniture, and then remove the door so they can't escape and let them catch on fire and burn to death. Put them in a pool and take the ladder away so they can't get out and drown, and sometimes you can let them have pets. Just to name a few things. But from the original game's release in 2000, EA Games is now on The Sims 4 with multiple expansion packs that can turn you into a vampire, have a downtown neighborhood, go on vacation or college or dates, and much, much more. Most recently, however, EA Games made a huge announcement saying that there was going to be an update release that would give the gamers the ability to have more inclusive options for both trans Sims and Sims with different accessibility needs. This includes being able to customize top surgery scars on the bodies and different binders available in the outfit selection process, hearing aids, and glucose monitors. This is huge, especially coming on the heels of the Hogwarts Legacy game being released and the internet going absolutely crazy over it. But this is not the first time The Sims has been on the side of the LGBTQIA+ community. The Sims has had gender pronoun options and sexual fluidity choices for years. You could have characters that were in same-sex, non-binary, and now, even trans relationships. And while I don't ever trust myself to play The Sims again because I, once a pop, I just can't stop Pringles when I play The Sims, I appreciate that a company has the foresight to create a more inclusive place for its gamers to live in the open world simulation and let people escape to a place where they can have control and autonomy over the best versions of themselves. And that is it for this episode's Making a Martini Special News Bulletin. And now back to our regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Oh, sorry. I was looking at my dog and I was like, where the fuck are you going? I don't trust him when he walks off by himself. So, Mr. Frank Arthur Smith, open to it. So, I'll just start by saying how much I absolutely love the show. Anytime someone gives you a recommendation like this about something they've been working on, you never really know what you're going to get. Same thing with having a podcast. And that's, I just like stopped telling people. I was like, I don't know if I want to tell people. We had an episode that came out today about blowjobs. And it was a surprise topic to me. My friends came on that also have a YouTube channel. And they were like, hey, we're just going to do a surprise topic. You're not going to know what it is until we tell you on live. And they were like, we want to talk about blowjobs. And I was like, why do you want to talk to me? And they were like, oh, no reason.
We heard that maybe the bathroom wall said, okay, never mind, sorry.
it had your phone number on it. We thought it would be a good thing to talk about. But I will say that about, 30 seconds in, you refer to Girl Scouts as 10-year-old cunts. And from that moment, I was in love and I said, this is it.
I'm so happy you said that, because depending on the screening, that line has gotten stony silence before.
Oh my God.
The crowd we're in for, got it. But when people guffaw at that, I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're safe.
Yeah, everything's fine. We'll be fine. Yeah. So just if for anybody who hasn't had a chance to see the show yet, I mean, I've talked about it already to people, so you should have fucking watched it. And if you haven't, go watch it and then listen to this episode again after you finish this listen. But give us your best elevator pitch of Open to It and what people can expect.
Sure. So Open to It, ding. Oh, that's my floor. Sorry. So it is about a couple experimenting with being open for the first time and the silly, sexy situations that arise. What I often say is I've consumed a lot of gay web series and you know, I feel like polyamory tends to be something people portray as like very salacious or like kind of negative, like that it's driving a couple apart. And I was like, why not do a take where it's actually bringing them even closer together? And it's, you know, hot and it's funny. On set, we call that honey. I just wanted to see like kind of a different take on all that, because I wasn't seeing what I wanted to see yet.
Yeah, you. There's an article that you were in Queer Teat that you were in. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but... but in Queer Tea, and there's a quote that I wrote down, and you said, I've got the receipts, polyamory and openness are often portrayed as this heavy apocalyptic antithesis to healthy romantic relationships. And after having seen the episodes that are available right now, you guys could not do more of the opposite, right? Like, it's just really, you know, fun look at a couple in a relationship that's just looking to see what's possible. And you don't see that. Like, usually when you see open relationships, it's they're in trouble. They're not going to make it. Something went wrong. Someone wants to cheat. Like, there's all these like big fucking bummer reasons to have an open relationship. And obviously, after watching the show and doing research on open relationships, I now know that's not the case at all.
You know what I'm glad of, actually, with this show? This was one that, like, before I made it, I hadn't produced something in a minute. So I was really, like, playtesting it, running it by a lot of people before I, like, you know, committed to doing the thing. And I heard a lot of takes that, you know, I was kind of like, that's wrong. And I'll be sure to address that in the show. Like, for instance, one read the script and was like, oh, I love seeing a couple at the beginning of the end like this. And I was like, no, explicitly not what I'm going for. And one friend explained it in a way that really resonated with me, where, like, on a show like Friday Night Lights, you have, you know, Coach and Mrs. Coach with this beautiful marriage. And whenever they have a challenge, they take it on together. It's not like a challenge is like, oh, they're going to break up over this. It's like, how are they going to overcome this? And that's what I saw, is like, yeah, having an open relationship will come with roadblocks, but this is something they pursue, you know, together. Mm-hmm. And then something else someone said was like, well, I just want to know, why are they doing this? What's wrong with their relationship? And that too is a premise that I was like, I want a challenge. Are they getting something out of this? 100%. But I wanted the motivation to be pretty explicitly something they wanted for themselves, not like dissatisfaction with their partner. It was something like an itch that was being scratched from like their own pasts, you know, the trauma, what have you. Gay people have trauma. I don't know if you know.
What? Yeah. Oh my God.
But, you know, I also use the word trauma lightly, because I'm not trying to say like, oh, polyamory results from a dark past. More the point being like, we have needs that we want fulfilled, and it doesn't mean that we're unhappy. Like, they're just, I'm happy right now. Would a pizza make me happier? Yeah. And that doesn't mean I hated not eating pizza. I don't know. It's Yeah, here I am on the soapbox. But the show is fun, you guys, I swear.
It is a really, really good time. How long has this been in the works? I mean, I know that it premiered last year at the 2022 LA Outfest, but obviously you've been working on it longer than that.
Yeah. So we screened, just like a couple days before. I was like, I got this. Let's do it.
Threw it together.
So I first wrote the short. It actually, I haven't quite thought of it like this in a while. So like I thought of a version of the show back in 2017, actually. But in that, what it was originally going to be was like the main character, Greg, going from being like buttoned up and prudish to like free spirited slut and show that journey. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't need to see the uptight part. I just want to see him being a hoe. And so then I wrote a short that was like ultimately became the first episode of like him having his first threesome gone wrong. And it's one of those things I would say to like any writer of sometimes you have an idea and there is something to it that you like, but there's packaging around it where you're like, I haven't found it yet. And that was what broke it open of like, the show needs to be about their journey. I think because I was afraid that unless I started him in a place of monogamy, people wouldn't relate to him. And then I was like, it's totally fine to like start them off as they're experimenting with polyamory and the show can begin there. Mm-hmm. That's where I want to begin the show. And so then ultimately I would say that once I like had the three episodes written, because I had the short, then wrote two more, it was pretty quick. Like that was the summer of 2021, and then we were filming in the winter of 2021. And then the next summer we were in Outfest, so it was a very special time. And now we're like making about three episodes every 6 months, so we are moving along.
Yes, how far, because I believe, so you were just recently on the podcast Double Teamed with two people's names who are
Cammy and Nikki.
Yes, Cammy and Nikki. And I think you mentioned somewhere in there that you guys were, are you in season two or you're writing, prepping season two?
Yeah, so we are about halfway through season two. We have filmed three episodes that we're finishing up editing. And then we're going to be filming the rest of season two later this year.
Awesome. Oh, that's exciting. I love that. One of the things that, like I said, I mean, I loved calling Girl Scouts cunts, but the other moment that really like solidified this for me, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying about how we're entering this, you know, relationship, not from a position of, something's wrong. We're entering this relationship from, you know, because at the core of the story, it's the relationship between Cam and Greg when they're so fucking cute. and there's so much heart to it. And the moment that I was like, this is really something special was that, and I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, even though it's episode one, but it's the moment after what I called the ceviche attack, for lack of spoiling anything, ironically enough, when Greg, you go and, for those who don't know, Frank plays Greg on the show. Which I will have to tell you that at first I did not know that that's who I was talking to, because I just saw like your Instagram profile, like the little icon. I was like, oh, I'm talking to like the writer. And then I like pulled up the, like the full page and was looking. I was like, oh shit, I'm such an asshole. I couldn't believe it.
They're the same guy.
Oh my God. But so there's
that
moment.
That was a good low level, my goodness.
I know. I've been working on it. We've got Lola, we've got Jennifer Coolidge. We're like, you know, I'm gonna have my own variety show.
Oh God, no, I love Big Mouth. And there's anyway, let's just talk about other shows the whole time.
Yeah, what else do you want to talk about? there's the ceviche attack, and you know, we see Cam just like sitting in the shower, completely defeated, and you know, we've all been there. 32 now, your body doesn't agree with you all the time. And he's just like, you know, sitting in the shower, and you go and you sat with him, and there's this line, I forget what it is, and I didn't write it down because I'm a twat, but you're like, he was like, you don't look like you're having fun, and I think it's like the most fun I've had all night. And that's how the episode ends. And I was like, oh, I had the feels. I have like And that was like sort of the moment that I knew that I don't have to worry about this being some sort of relationship drama thing. I don't have to worry about losing these two characters. And that was another thing you brought up on the podcast. It's not that this is going to lead to a breakup unless things have changed. I don't know, you're in season two, but it fucking better not. I'm coming to LA and we're going to have words.
We're going to have words. No, thank you. Yeah. So what for people who haven't seen the first episode, stop this podcast right now, go watch, but then resume this podcast. Everyone needs their views.
Yeah. At this point, I've gotten the download already, so you're good.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay. So what happens is one of the partners gets some food poisoning that interferes with the date with the third, we'll say. And I give our director, Greg Wolf, a lot of credit, because how I wrote that originally was like them walking out of the bathroom arm in arm. And he was like, no, I don't think he was like, first of all, that shot sounds dumb. He was like, and secondly, it was like, we've already got him in the shower. Just go sit in the shower with him. I was like, I'll get wet. He was like, yeah. And I'm the director. Get wet.
in every sense of the word, please.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, I agree. It's like the still we use for the show most often, because just the two of us embracing there is really, it moves me too. And I thank you for saying that, because like, I think it ends the first episode with like, this is what the tone is going to be. These two are in it together. They may get into silly adventures, but like they have each other's back at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, just in the way that you phrased that, I was like, this kind of is like a really fun buddy comedy. Like, you know, like two guys on the road. That's your second song this episode.
Wow. And for, again, for the listeners, the martini has not been drunk yet.
No, we've had like three sips. Oh God. So why, for you, was it important to tell this story now? Wait, is that what I want to phrase this as? You know what I mean? Why was it important to tell this story now?
Yeah, I think we are in a time of ever increasing empathy and understanding. And this was a frontier that I felt like still deserved some attention. That, you know, I listen to a number of sex podcasts. Two of my best friends are podcasters. Shout out to Sex Talk with my mom. They do wonderful work. Ooh. And they, like, I think it's one of those things that still has stigma attached. And yet, like, I live here in Los Angeles, and I know a number of people in, like, open relationships. I identify as being in an open relationship, and, like, you know, which may sound like weird phrasing, by the way. It's just because I wouldn't say I'm polyamorous. That's why I say it that way. Because like, we don't have like, you know, secondary partners, right, in our particular configuration. But yeah, like I just saw it being so normal in my life and in my friends' lives that I was like, and there are very funny situations. Like I would find myself sort of taking notes on things that had happened and writing them down. And I was like, like so many, you know, fools before me, there's a show here. And sure enough, what's been beautiful actually about being able to make though now two seasons is the first few episodes did start out being like loosely based on things that had happened to me, but then the actors were all so wonderful and just really brought the characters to life in a way where like the story very much went in a different direction than I was anticipating. And I couldn't be more grateful, just because it's like an inspiration to write for all of them. Shout out to Tim Wardell, Jason Cassius, Kimberly Pace-Nieva, Elizabeth Boone, and Victoria Glahosky, amongst all our
wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it really is a really fun ensemble cast. Like every character is really, really likable. And I have a note, one of the ones that I didn't send you. Surprise. This is a surprise topic now. was
blowjobs.
Yeah, but it's not blowjobs. there really is no, how am I going to phrase this? Everybody involved, character-wise, is such a positive representation of their listeners can't see, but my hands are making motions of their sort of character, I guess, is maybe the best way that I can phrase it for not being prepared to talk about it that way. but because like even there really is no villain, and granted I've seen three episodes, so I don't know if someone new has been introduced, but like even the character of Princeton is, who I find absolutely hilarious, and he has some of my favorite lines of the entire show. They're just it's amazing. I want you to yell Kale Caesar into my butthole. Like just I remember I paused it because I was crying laughing, not because I was emotional about it. Maybe I was, maybe it was both, I don't know. we'll see. But he's just like such like a fun, like endearing person, and he's exactly what he says he is. And he's also another really positive representation of this idea of open relationships and non-monogamy and polyamorous and that stuff too. So it's the ensemble cast is chef's kiss.
Thank you. Or and he's Right. No, Jason, the who plays Princeton, is wonderful. He's one of our really good friends now, and he just brings so much depth to that character. Like, and to his great credit, I originally envisioned that role as being like done after the first three episodes. I thought it was going to be more like rotating cast, if you will. But he just did such a wonderful job that I was like, I want to keep seeing what happens with this character. And like,
yeah.
We've only shown episodes 4 through 6 to like friends and family at this point, mm-hmm. but people walked out being like, I'm so pleasantly surprised at the way that character grew and evolved. Like they didn't see it coming either. And
yeah,
you know, what can I tell you? When you dye someone's hair, they just show layers, and his is blue in the next few episodes. So get excited.
Yeah, I know. I saw. So there are, so on the Open To It series, so the Open To It series website is www.opentoitseries.com, and you can go, and there's so much fun stuff that you can see. That's where you can see the first two episodes. That's where you can see behind the scenes content. You see the cast, you see the crew, the creative team. You can get email updates. Did I forget anything?
Oh, so the third episode is available for purchase for $3.33.
Yeah, worth
and
it.
Lately, I've realized some people aren't clear on what to do. So when you click on the episode 3 trailer, in the top right corner, there's like a buy button. And a portion of the proceeds go to charity, the Trans Latina Coalition, which our special guest star, LaGanja, is a big proponent of. So I know for some people, it's weird. They're like, but I have Netflix and I have all this content, but I really think you'll enjoy episode 3 and know that, you know, the money is going to a good place.
It's so much fun. And there are like some, you know, some fun cameos. There were people that I've definitely have seen before in other stuff. Obviously the reason that we're here, he plays the fun little shop boy, which we love for him. We love that journey. My other favorite part of that episode is when the tiniest pineapple drinks cost $80 when you order 4 of them. I was like, that tracks.
We have friends like that who would invite us to a party and then charge us a lot. And you're like
I had a feeling that came from somewhere deeply, somewhere here, somewhere in the heart.
And they're your friends, so you feel like you can't say no. Yeah, and then you walk away being like, did that happen?
I love it. That's also the episode 2 where we get to see a bit more of the neighbors, Elsa and Reggie, who I love. And if I could have, you know, Elsa's "Hi, Greg" as my ringtone, I would.
I swear, she came to the callback, and every time she went, "Hi, Greg," it made me cackle, and I was like, "Her, absolutely her."
She's hilarious.
Kimberly Pace, she's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Their dynamic is, they're the couple next door. Is that what I think?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. And one, I believe Elsa identifies as bisexual and Reggie identifies as a lesbian, correct?
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that dynamic, we get to see a little bit more. There's actually even one line that I really kind of loved, and it was, I don't know why I said really kind of loved.
I really kind of sort of really, did it all, but a little.
But a little bit, yeah. See, I told you, I am a twat. But it was something like, don't weaponize your bisexuality against me. I was like, oh, shit. Spilling the tea. But they're so much fun. And I'm really excited because I saw there's behind the scene photos on the website, too. And I saw them. So I'm really excited to see what sort of develops with them.
Yeah, they get their own storyline starting with episode 4, and in episode 5, they have their first sex scene. So, viewers will have to tune in. We don't just show boys here, we show all people.
Yes. Yes, because we want to see everyone have sex as much as possible, even if you're not on TV. Just to have sex as much as possible, everyone. My God.
Yeah.
Shit. So you and your recently made, I have no idea why I phrased it that way, but you and your recently made fiance, congratulations. Oh my gosh, we love it. We love to see it.
I did make him into a fiance. That is true.
Yeah. But you guys, you know, chose to enter this, you know, the non-monogamous, the open relationship, essentially, right? That's the correct classification.
Yeah, for us, yeah.
There was like 4 terms that I've had written down completely differently because I would get them from different sources. And I was like, I hope I'm using the right ones in the right places. We'll see. That's why this is happening.
The angry tweets will happen and you'll know what not to say next time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're like, that's too close to home anyway.
Yeah. But what was the sort of the catalyst that helped you guys sort of head down that route of being in an open relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. For us, it wasn't a conversation, actually. It was an event, trademark, where this friend of Matt's had come into town and was being flirty, and we both were just feeling the vibe, and we're like, cool, let's do that. Yeah. And then it became like something that happened maybe like once every month or month and a half, you know, like just like, hey, some people go to Disney, we invite over a third person to do unspeakable things too. And so, yeah. And then what sort of became the vibe was, it honestly has stayed that way for the most part of like, we prefer to do things together. Like maybe if one person's out of town, like we might see someone, but mostly like our personal format is just like kind of like, we always want to prioritize each other and don't want to like spend time on someone else. And that's just our relationship. Like other people are fine like going out on dates, and especially the benefit of having multiple partners is like some people fulfill like certain roles, other people fulfill others, that just, you know, we're just very codependent. So like even if we're gonna have sex with someone else, it's like, okay, but you're gonna be there, right? Okay, yeah, okay, good.
No, I love that. One of the things, because this is something that I have been, even before I knew about Open to It, like this is something that I've been not talking about because he's single, everyone. But but I've just been, you know, saying like I think the idea of open relationships and the consensual non-monogamous. All right. Well, we've had a few sips of the martini. Yeah. Non-monogamous, consensual non-monogamous relationships, polyamory, and all these things. I think that they're, I don't want to say the future because it's not like they haven't been around because they have been. They've been around for a really, really fucking long time, and it just has never been talked about. And we sort of talked about why this podcast exists. It's because I want to talk about those things that maybe people just don't want to, haven't had the platform to. And, you know, the hope is always that this starts a conversation somewhere. But what was my point? Where was I going?
Alcohol's delicious.
Now alcohol, you know, is delicious. It's been a day, everyone. But I guess, I mean, ultimately the point I was trying to make was that that's sort of one of my favorite things about what your story does, is that it opens the conversation. And like we've talked about, you know, 10 minutes ago, it's all portrayed in such a, you know, positive kind of way. It's, you know, it's fun, it's exciting, it's not the downside.
Thank you. And honestly, that's been one of my favorite parts about making this, both in terms of like the community I've created, like with everybody who works on the show, like everybody has such a good time together. And then there are lots of friendships that have arisen, which has been wonderful to experience. But also people watch it, and much like, you know, I think when people listen to a very non-judgmental, warm-hearted podcast like yours, like my friends, they then know that I'm someone who's safe to talk to. So people will like, you know, open up to me about what's going on with them. Or like, I joke about this, but it's very true. People will come up to me and be like, we're monogamous. It's like, I voted for Trump. You know, like they feel like they can tell you these things.
Yeah. They come out of the woodwork.
They sure do. And and it's revealed to me, I think, one that, you know, it's more common than you might expect, but also that it's not the sort of thing we should have to whisper about.
Like, right. Just right. Well, there was a study that I found a quote from. I'm all about the quotes. Now, unfortunately, this article was from Psychology Today, and I'm not like a proponent. You know, they just made, you know, homosexuality not a disorder in 1987. So like, I'm not like on the side of these people.
Right before I was born, they're like, I don't trust them. Yeah, this can't be a disease. This is going to work out.
Because he is going to shine. There's like a Leslie Jordan quote. It's like, I fell out of the womb and into my mama's high heels. And I'm like, bitch, I fucking get that on a spiritual level. R.I.P. sweet baby angel. But the quote was, and like I said, don't trust them, but I thought this was interesting, was because they did a study, and the quote is, we found people in consensual non-monogamous relationships experience the same levels of relationship satisfaction, psychological well-being, and sexual satisfaction as those in monogamous relationships, if not more. This debunks societal views of monogamy as being the ideal relationship structure. And God, isn't that the fucking truth? Like, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, in the past, I've also experienced greater levels of trust, which I can absolutely confirm. Like, I don't have to worry about what Matt's doing, what he's up to. Cause one, again, I'm watching it most of the time, but also like there is, there's like, everything is a conversation. And like, I was listening to Dan Savage do a podcast with Ezra Klein last week. And he was like, why the great thing about gay sex, is that the roles aren't predefined. And so right. you have to ask questions like, what are you into? Mm-hmm. Which sometimes with maybe heterosexual intercourse, that's not, it's understood. I do this, you do that. And that's right. not understood for us. And so we have to have mature conversations right away. And like the things sometimes that come up, like, I don't know, just something silly sometimes, like you'll like, I'm going to say this is going to sound dirtier than I mean it to, but like you spit and then like the spit's hanging off your lip. And then you're like, oh, in like a different situation, I would be super embarrassed. But like, you can just like acknowledge that in front of a partner and be like, oh, that wasn't sexy. You know, like, I don't know. There's a right. freedom I feel like with when you're forced to communicate that lets you not take yourself as seriously.
Yeah. 100%. Has working on this show, being that you are involved in, oh my God, many assets of it. Sorry, I just slapped my mic right in the face.
Now call it a bitch.
Yeah, which some people are into. you know, has working on this show given you any new insight as to the world of open relationships or taught you anything about what that looks like since you were... were you in an open relationship before you started writing it?
Yeah. That would be funny, though, if I like writing it. I was like, you know, this seems pretty all
that
right.
Seems great.
Out. You know, making out boys, not so bad. Boys being adult men. My God, the internet.
Yes, of course. I know. Yes, adult men.
Like the hate comments are stupid sometimes. Yeah. Anywho, which is also the great PSA of like, don't read the comments. Just don't.
Ever.
Don't. It's a waste of your time.
No.
Listen to the comments of real people who tell you your face what they think, because those are largely positive and
yes.
true. I guess the insight that's been gained has just been, I was very familiar with like what worked for us, and it's been nice to hear mm-hmm. like what is also functional for other people, because I think it's easy for anyone in any sort of situation to be like, oh, what I'm doing is like working, and I assume other people work the same way, and then to be like, oh, you do it that way, oh, that's fascinating. I think like my goal is always to be less, you know, as minimally judgmental as possible, asymptotically approaching zero judgment, and to be able to hear what people go through, what people do, what works for them has been very affirming, because it shows like what we grew up thinking, like there's only one way to do this, there's no wrong way to fuck a Reese's. So there you have it.
True. Facts.
Reese's is like, and cease and desist going out this moment. Okay, there we go.
Oh no. What would you say have been sort of the biggest objections that maybe you've received, maybe you've heard, to people being in something like this, you know, open, non-monogamous, polyamorous? What are the big, like the main boohoos?
The main boohoos, I love that. I think a couple things. One, there's the misclassification that one person is always unhappy, and that is demonstrably not true with me and other people. It's not like one person has caved to the other's desires. That can happen, but that can happen in any relationship, that like one parent is taking care of the children and so the other can have their career. Like there can be disagreements at any level, and this is not something that's like more destined for her than I think any other relationship classification. And relatedly, just that like it's destined to end in heartbreak. I mean,
yeah,
so far so great for me, and I see like many wonderful examples. Like Dan Savage is an example of someone who has been in an open relationship for a very long time and like is very satisfied, loves his partner, and I think the last thing, this just came to mind now, is like, I am so happy if you were in a happy polyamorous relationship. I am so happy if you were in a happy monogamous relationship. I'm happy if you're in no relationship. Like, I think people think that people who do like consensual non-monogamy want that for everybody else. My thing has always been, I want you to feel like you can try it if you want to try it. But if you don't want to try it, please don't. Same thing with like sexuality. Like, I want people to feel like they can experiment if they want to, but if they have no desire, then Great. That's fewer dates to go on and more money saved as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I think that's the, you know, misunderstanding is people who are into like, you know, ethical non-monogamy are supportive of any relationship structure as long as it's between two, you know, consenting adults or more for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to talk about the most, and actually not really even tried, it just happens when it happens, but sex is such a huge topic on this podcast because I'm a huge proponent of sex education / the lack thereof in the country world, where have you. And you know, the idea of not being able to like have these conversations from a certain point in your life, right? Because you're afraid to talk about it, because you're afraid to, even not on the level of just different types of relationships, but like you said, like sexuality. I'm a huge proponent of believing that sexuality is, you know, fluid. It's a spectrum. I'm sure there can be people that hit 100% either side, but that means that there is all those other percentages in the middle where someone could fall. And, you know, unless you decide to be open to it.
Ding.
Thank you very much, everyone. And that's all the time we have here. but unless you, you know, you decide to like have the conversation or talk about it or explore it or, you know, even just being provided the information is so, so critical and so important, and it just doesn't happen. And, you know, I would love to say that it's going to, but not until people keep having the conversation. It becomes more of just a societal norm. I mean, like we said, you know,
sex education and relationship education, like information is not dangerous. Say the people back, information is not dangerous.
Right.
Information helps you make informed, it's right there in the word, decisions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know about you, but my sex education was, I got more out of the TV show on Netflix Sex Education than I got out of my actual one. Just when it was like, hey, here's a diagram of a penis and a vagina and they go together. End of list. And you're like, got it.
I don't know. I think people are so worried about, I don't know. I think you can like explore a lot of topics in a like clinical, dispassionate way that will ultimately be beneficial. Mm-hmm. I understand you maybe don't want to like over-educate teenagers sometimes, but at the same time, I'm like, they're going to find it on their own. We always do.
And sometimes that can be
like, I'm still a teenager.
We always do.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't always know what the right way to do it is, but when sometimes I hear examples that really resonate with me, and I believe it's Erica Lust, I want to say, who is a porn director, and her husband, where they have a like basket full of magazines, toys, what have you, and they inform their kids like, this is there, we're never going to check it, we're never going to ask you if you have used anything in it or are actively using it, but that is there, and we support your experimenting, we support your learning, and we can answer any question, but we don't have to. That's a
pee. yeah that's great. Ugh.
I was like, that's excellent parenting.
Yeah,
that is. Not make sex like dirty. Like,
I mean, like there's a lot of misinformation out there too that can easily be accessed.
And like, I would actually say then for all you people out there who are worried your child will turn out like me, then give them a sex education and they won't be a hoe. You're welcome. This is an argument for sex education.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh. I just really took you down a path. What show do you work for? Open to it. That's right.
Brothers and Sisters in ABC. Yes.
we talked about this a little bit earlier. Episodes 1 and 2 are available for streaming right now on www.opentoitseries.com. You can purchase a third one for $3.33. That benefits the Latin Trans Coalition. Yes. And all of those will be linked in the notes, of course, along with articles that we referenced. There's one article that I wrote that we didn't talk about, and I don't remember why it's on here. It was Instinct Magazine.
Yeah.
But
I think I might have said something similar about like, that'll be there about just we can have fucking upbeat takes on.
Yeah.
It'll fucking be there. Fucking
it'll
read
be fucking
it.
Be there. Fucking read it. Okay. And then share.
Do readers
and then
like
watch
being bullied? Does that work? Mm-hmm. You're readers of this podcast. Where am I right now, by the way?
I know. My readers just hate me, actually.
Because they're like, there's nothing to read.
notes, little notes at the in the episode. Are there any, you know, clues or hints that you can give us about what is to come, pun intended, or with who? Open to it, or who's going to come? Everybody.
Yeah. I guess I would offer a few things that, yes, the women will explore their own version of what being open means with a fabulous new person named Kat, played by Victoria Glahosky. She's wonderful. She entices them with a strawberry, and that's all I'm going to say for now.
Here for it.
And then we have lots of fun drag cameos coming. We have Pandora Box.
That was the Instinct article.
Honey Davenport. Yep. Yep. And a fun talent who's been on Days of Our Lives, Matt Rivera. So yeah, prefer for it to get campy and fun wild.
I love that. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Three songs.
We love the excitement.
Yeah,
the
yeah. But the martini's almost gone. Awesome. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us. I thank you for writing this and for creating it and for putting it out there in the world. You're a fucking joy to talk to.
No, Evie. And actually, I would say one more thing. I don't know.
Yes,
I just
please.
Thought of this now because today I met one of my heroes, actually. Sure. Alan Braca, who's the filmmaker who made all the Eating Out movies, Boy Culture, both the movie and the series. And he was so lovely, so nice to talk to. And you know, I was very effusive about how much I admired him, and he received all that very warmly. And I say all that to say, like, sometimes doing what we do as artists, making a show, making a podcast, is very lonely. It can be hard. And I would just say to anybody listening who enjoys this episode, please let Caleb know. If you enjoy my show, please let me know. We are always happy to hear from you. And sometimes, it's nice to be reminded why you do it. And even a simple, like, I remember when I wrote fan fiction and people writing literally the letters KIU, keep it up, took me so far. So please always offer your feelings to people. They tend to like to receive them and, you know, offer their own feelings back.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, tell me how much you love me. For the love
readers,
of
show him you love this podcast.
Please, readers, please.
Funny though, that became your fan base name. Now you're like, hello, readers.
Hello, readers.
Caleb again.
Yes, that is absolutely what it's going to become. All thanks to you. Oh my God.
You better read each other to filth.
Okay. You hear me? All right. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time and being here. I cannot wait to see what happens with Open to It and everything that just happens with you. You're a beautiful little angel and I love you. All right, well, now that we got that out of the way. If you are a fan of Making Martini, please tell everyone that you know. You can go to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and a review. That's how we get seen more and more. We have links in this episode notes. There is the Buy Me a Coffee link, which really is going to be Buy Me a Martini link. But, you know, just know where your money's going. I think that's important to be transparent. And if you are not signed up currently and do not have an account, if you would like to sign up with the Instacart link that we have in this episode notes, you can get free delivery off of your first order over $30, which is great. I love Instacart because I hate going to the fucking grocery store because it sucks. And I think that's really everything I have. Good Lord. This has been Making a Martini, up dry and straight to the point. Cheers.